goes accordingly.
Give it a second for the Zoom people to get on. Okay, fine. So let's start the Gemara. So the Gemara says, we're starting from Truknin. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 lines from the bottom. So the Gemara says, Truknin chayov mechalach, yosirov and hamaviechin and Truknin v'turim menachalach. So that's how we have the gears in the Gemara, that there's like a machaikas in the Gemara, 2 days in the Gemara. The goyin is magiyat. And it's not 2 days in the Gemara. This is just one member that Robin said in the name of Rav Eichon, the Truknin are Chayiv and Chalav. And the Rishonim is Mavur also. That none of the Rishonim mentioned that there's a Machlokes in the Gemara about Truknin. In Rishonim is Mavur that there are two different Gersois. What is the din of Truknin? There's one Gers of Truknin is Chayiv and Chalav, like the Goyin is Magir. That's the Gers of the Rosh. The Goyin, the Rosh brings the Rishonim that way, the Truknin is Chayiv and Chalav. And then the Rishonim bring the Ritva. In a way, let's say the Ritva brings that there's another gear, so the gear says Hagoinim that Truknin / Kubad Ara is Potim in Achala. So that's to begin with. We have a Machlekes and Gersois. What is the Gemara saying? Are Truknin Chayim in Achala or Truknin Potim in Achala? And my Truknin, Omer Abai, Kubad Ara. So Truknin is a synonym for Kubad Ara. Rashi learns Kubad Ara means they make a little hole in the bottom of the oven and they pour the batter into the hole and it bakes inside the oven. And again, Rashi, it's not clear in Rashi which way Rashi's gear is, but the Rosh's gear is that it's Chayim and Chala. He brings Rashi's parish, and that's the Goyin's gear. So, and on the other hand, the Torah also passes that. Well, we'll leave the Torah for a bit, and the Gisus Hagoyinim, the Ritva brings Gisus Hagoyinim, is that Truknin / Kubadahara is Potim and Achala. If it's Chayim and Chala, so we understand why it's Chayim and Chala. It's baked in an oven. So if it's baked in an oven, why should it not be chayiv in challah? The rule is that something that's baked in an oven is chayiv in challah. If you go it's like the goyim that it's potim in challah, so why would it be potim in challah? So the Ritva says, pshat in the gersus of goyim is that since it's a blila raka, it's poured into the hole, so it's a blila raka, and the blila raka is potter min ha-chala. We'll see more in detail a little bit later in the Ritva has a little bit more to say about it, but akupanim, that the Ritva says that according to the Gisus HaGoinim, that Truknin is potter min ha-chala, the reason why it's potter min ha-chala is because it's a Bli L'Rako. That's, where do we have such a sheet already in Rishonim, that a Bli L'Rako is potter min ha-chala? Ben-Adovin Psochem, Bli L'Rako is potter min ha-chala. So that's this Gisus HaGoinim as well, that Truknin is potter min ha-chala. Yeah, then the Gemara says another din. Ve'omer Abaye, Triso, Turim Nachalo. Triso is Potim Nachalo. My Triso. So we have three sheets. What's Triso? Ikad Ami Gvil Martach. Ikad Ami Nama Dahandako. Ikad Ami Lechem Osi Lekutuch. So Rashi says, one of these three things, which are all Potim Nachalo. So one of my numbers, it's a Gvil Martach. What's a Gvil Martach? Rashi says like a pancake. You take the batter and you pour it onto a skittle, onto the top of the kira, onto a stovetop, and it spreads. It spreads out and it bakes. And it's potim in a challah. Why is it potim in a challah? Rashi doesn't say so much. Shayim Zemur, that's not called a lechem. Even though blila raka, if you go, it's like the Rosh, a blila raka per se is chayiv and challah. Kubadar is chayiv and challah. The fact that it's a blila raka by itself is not an impediment to being chayiv and challah. That's not an impediment to being lechem. But here, since it's mispashet on, it spreads out like a pancake, so that's already has, there's an extra element over here, the fact that it's pancake-like in the way it cooks. So that already is megareya. That's already not called a lechem, and it's potim in a challah. So that's the first definition, first pshat, what trisa is. You got to say, gvil martuch, quite Rashi means a pancake. Vikad ami nama dahandaka. Rashi learns nama dahandaka, it's like bread that's made on a spit, and they smear it like shawarma. They smear it with eggs and and oil and so on. So that's mamish bli la'ova. It's a bli la'ova, and it's baked on the fire, directly on the fire. L'chayr, why shouldn't it be lechem? So they have to say all the shmirachts, all this stuff that they smear on it, it makes it already more, that takes away from the being a lechem. Rabbi Yonah says, it shows that it's not a bread that's made for achilus kva. We'll see more about that also going forward. And then the third shita is that it's a lechem osu l'kutuch, Rashi says it's baked in the sun. And if it's baked in the sun, it's not called a lechem. The Gemara in that then sub-qualifies that. Botanya chayev v'cho. The prayer brings, tani rabchi lechem osu l'kutuch batum in achala. Okay, that stims. But then the Gemara says, botanya chayev v'chala. Osim tani time, Rav Yudoymer, maseh mechichin alel, osik ochin chayovin, kilimudim p'tur. Depends how it's made. If it's made like a bread, the tzur of a bread, plus kois noyus, Rashi says, so then it's chayev v'chala. If it's made just like sticks, so then it's made, that's the megala, that it's not really made to be a bread. Mustam, it means it's just made to take the dip. The kutuch is the dip. It's just made to scoop up the dip, but it's not made to be a bread. So even though it's, so you see, baked in the sun by itself could be chayim and chal. It depends how it's baked in the sun. Is it baked in the sun like a bread, or is it baked in the sun like a shmiros? Akabanim, that's how we have the gist in the Gemara. The tris is potim in achal. The riff does not bring the Gemara of Truknin at all. But he says that Trisa is, the gist of the riff is that Trisa, he just makes Trisa, that Trisa is bottom in Achal. Just means that Trisa is bottom in Achal. But he leaves out the Gemara about Truknin. Rabbi Yoina seems to also have the gist of the riff, that just Trisa is, there's no Truknin, there's only Trisa. Doesn't talk about Truknin at all. He only talks about Trisa. But in Trisa, he brings that there are two Gersois. That the Gersa of the Ga'inim is that it's Potter, and the other Gersa is that it's Chayiv. And the Pshata Rashi says on Kuba Da'ara, that it's like they make a hole in the oven, they pour the batter into the hole, and it bakes in the oven. That which is Rashi's definition of Kuba Da'ara, Truknin slash Kuba Da'ara, Rabbi Yonah quotes Rashi as that's defining Trisa. So that Trisa on the tzadet is Gvil Mirtuch. One of the pshatim of Trisa is Gvil Mirtuch. Gvil Mirtuch, which Rashi has by us as a pancake, Rabbi Yonah quotes Rashi that no, it means it's a kubah d'ara, it's batter that's poured into a hole. Mamish, what Rashi said by kubah d'ara, Rabbi Yonah doesn't have the whole kubah d'ara, he only has Trisa. But he reads into the Trisa on the pshat A of the, there's three pshatim of Trisa. But in the pshat, the Trisa is Gvil Mirtuch. Bil Mirtuch, Sir Rabbeinu Yoina quotes Rashi that it means that it's oisim guma bakira. Rashi said, and he brings it in, and it's in regard to that it brings the two gersois. So lemaisa, it comes out both according to Rabbeinu Yoina and what we saw in the other Rishonim that in this case we have a hole in the oven and you pour the batter in and it bakes. There's two gersois, whether it's chayav or potter, but an arid gersa in Gemara, the Rosh's gersa, that's the Gemara, but kubad ara. Trisa already, we've moved on to other things, we've moved on to pancakes, and pancakes are, and the only gersa is that it's potim and achal, they don't bring another gersa. In the riff, and more about Richas and Rabbeinu Yoina, we don't have the Truknin, we only have the Trisa, and the Gemara says Trisa, the first shot in Trisa is Gvil Mirtuch, but Rabbeinu Yoina translates Gvil Mirtuch the way we have Rashi translating Kubadara, Truknin Kubadara, and he brings it, that's where the Machlekes and the gersa is that Chayim and Chal, is that potim and achal. It affects also the other three cases, the other cases of Truknin, the other cases of Trisa, because Trisa the Gemara has three pshatim. Gvir Mirtuch, Naamad Dahandaka, and Lechem Osi Lekutuch. In Agirsa, it's definitely Potim and Achala. Pancakes, Potim and Achala, all Potim and Achala, according to Rabbeinu Yonah's Girsa, there's two Girsois. There might be Girsa that is Chayiv and Chala, which means that all three are Chayiv and Chala, which would mean that Naamad Dahandaka, there could be a Girsa that Naamad Dahandaka is Chayiv and Chala, and Lechem Osi Lekutuch is Chayiv and Chala. But lechem osu l'kutuch is not so important because anyway the Gemara says that there's two different cases of lechem osu l'kutuch. So one is chayim and one is potter. So it's not so relevant so much to lechem osu l'kutuch, but it's more but it is negated to Naamad Dahandaka. And Rabbi Yonah Taka talks through what's the tzad of Naamad Dahandaka is chayim and chala because it's a bli la'ova. And what's the tzad? It's a regular bread. Just has shmirchs on it, but it's a regular bread. And what's the tzad that it's potter and achala? Because they put all the shmirchs. So therefore it's not made for an achilas kvan, it's potter and achala. Then the Gemara says, what's the bracha on kubah d'ara? That's how we have the gersa. So kubadara, we had at the beginning of the Gemara. That's chuknin. Chuknin was kubadara. We had the two gersois. It's chayim and chalapotim and achal. Now the Gemara says, what bracha do you make on it? So the Gemara says, Yosef said to him, Amalemi sabed namu. You think it's bread? Guvla ba'almu. It's just a guvla ba'almu. It's just a guvla. To me, megabel means to mix together liquid and a solid. Like if you make a mud pie, so you megabel the mud in the water. So it's a guvla ba'almu. So mevarchel ba'ari minim is zaynus. Mazut kava sudas alei mevarchel yamaitzi lechem and aratz. He was kaveh suda on it, and he didn't make hamaitzi. V'sholish brachas, and he benched. It's called lechem oini. So, we have the Gemara in Agamara. So we have two Gemaras about Kubadara. We have the Gemara at the very beginning that Kubadara is chayv and chala, but there's another gears that maybe is potem and chala. The Goyim's Gersh that is Potem and Achal. And then we have a Gemara here that the Baruch is very minim is Zaynus, but if you convey a Suda, the Baruch is Amaitzi, and you Yotzi Chevasu B'Pesach. The Rif, as I said before, doesn't have Kubba D'Ara, Ben Yoyinus, they don't have Kubba D'Ara in the Gemara before, they just go right to Shisa. And there, the Rebbe Ben Yoyinus says, there's two Gersois, if it's Potem and Achal or Chayav and Achal. I think the Rif says it is these guys that it's Potem and Achal. But the Rebbe Ben Yoyinus is two Gersois. And this Gemara about what Baruchah do you make? The Rif is Geiris, not Kuba Da'ara, but Trisa Da'ara. Trisa Da'ara. Which may or may not be the same thing as Trisa. Is Trisa Da'ara and Trisa the same thing, or something different? So the kids here, in the Gersois here, there's a lot of different variables. A lot of different variables. First of all, If we imagine here, there's three units in this Gemara. There's the unit about Chuknin, which the Gemara says is Kubadara. There's the unit about Triso, which the Gemara has three Pshatim, Real Mirtuch. Maybe we should put it on the board, but it's not so important. I don't want to put it on the board because I don't want to get so focused on it. But and then you have also I don't have a marker. Triso, we have three Pshatim, Real Mirtuch, Nama, Da'andaka, and Lechem Osel Kutuch. That's the second unit. And then the third unit is what bracha do you make on Kubadara? So we have three units in the Gemara. The issue in the it's okay. If I need it, I'll ask. So there's and as far as the gears is concerned, so there's a few different variables. First of all, are you going to the first unit at all? The Benuara Truknin Kubadara, does that exist? In Agamar it exists. The Rush quotes it. The Rif doesn't bring it, and Rabbi Yonah doesn't mention it. Doesn't seem that they have that gears at all. Especially since you see that Rabbi Yonah transposes the Rashi and that Gemara to the next Gemara. So it seems very much that the Rif and Rabbi Yonah didn't have that first unit at all. We have that first unit, Truknin, Mike Truknin, Kubadara, but we know from the Ritva that there are two different Gersois in the Gemara. There's one Gers that is Chayev and Achal, which is the Gers of the Rosh, and there's the Gers of the Goyin, that it's Potem and Achal. That's the first unit. So it may or may not exist, and even if it exists, it may be Chayev and Achal, it may be Potem and Achal. Then we have the next unit, which is Trisa, three different Shaltim and Trisa. But let's focus on the first one, Gvil Mirtuch. In Agamara it says Potem and Achala. Rabbi Yoina says the two Gersois. There's a Gers that might be Chayim and Achala. Might be Potem and Achala. Also, what does it mean, Trisa? According to Rashi, what is Gvil Mirtuch, which is the first, that's the one we're going to focus on the most. The Gvil Mirtuch. What is this Gvil Mirtuch, which is the translation of Trisa? By Rashi, it says a pancake. That's why it's Potem and Achala, because it's in Spasha, Gone of Honor. In Rabbi Yoina, it's the hole in the ground. It's the hole in the ground thing that he puts into the second unit over here. But Kapanim with the Rebbe Yonah brings two different Gersois about Trisa. And then we have the last unit of the Gemara. What bracha do you make? Hamaitzi, Bari Mitzvah Marzah, you make Bari Mitzvah Zainas. If you have a Yisuda, you make Hamaitzi, and Adam Melech Yetzi Chavazim Vepesah. And then we also have two different Gersois. Are we talking about Kuba Da'ara? Or are we talking about Trisa Da'ara? Our Gemara says Kuba Da'ara. The Rosh quotes Kuba Da'ara. Rebbe Yonah, that the Rif has Trisa Da'ara. Rebbe Yonah also has that Trisa Da'ara. So that's also a variable here. And there's a tour. The tour is not so clear how he had the girsa. The tour brings that kuba da'ara, which he explained, which is the first thing in the Gemara, kuba da'ara. Truknin. His truknin, which is kuba da'ara, is a hole in the ground, and you pour the batter in, and so on. The tour passing said it's chayiv and chala, and the bracha is hamaitzi. And then he says that a trisa, which is a pancake, it's a pancake, a trisa, he says, is potem and a chala, and the bracha is mezoinus, but if you kavei suda on it, you make hamaitzi. So he says, if you, where do you get this? If you kavei suda on a pancake, you make hamaitzi. He says, and the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says it about kuba da'ara. Kuba da'ara is not a pancake. Kuba da'ara is the hole in the ground, like the Ritva himself said, like the Torah himself said, that kuba da'ara is the hole in the ground. That's the thing that if you kavei suda on it. Kuba da'ara is the thing that if you kavei suda on it, you make hamaitzi. And pancakes, you never make hamaitzi. Pancakes are always mezainis. So he says, he thinks that you have to sort of, that the Torah says that if you kavei suda on it, you make hamaitzi, it's not going on pancakes. It's going back on, very dochuk in the tour. It's going back on what he talked about before on kuba da'ara. But it could be that maybe the Rif had the girsa. Maybe the Rif had the following. Maybe he had the girsa kuba da'ara. In the beginning of the Gemara, the first unit he had kuba da'ara, like an agamara, like the Rosh is kuba da'ara. And that's the hole in the ground. And that's potem in achala. Brach is mezainis, presumably, because it's potem in achala. But then in the last unit of the Gemara, the third unit of the Gemara, maybe he didn't have kuba da'ara. He had like the Rif trisa. Or Trisa Da'ara. And he learns that the Gemara, that third Gemara about Trisa Da'ara, is not going on Kuba Da'ara, it's going on the Trisa, on the pancake, which is not the way it says in the Rosh. Maybe he was going that way in the Rosh too. Or maybe he was not like the Rosh. It's hard for the Torah not to be like the Rosh. Maybe he was going that in the Rosh says Kuba Da'ara in the last Gemara. Maybe he was going Trisa Da'ara in the last Gemara. In the Rosh too, maybe. And therefore the Gemara about making a mitzi is not going on the hole in the ground thing. We should give it a name. Let's keep calling it a hole in the ground. Well, okay, the hole in the ground. Maybe it's not going there. It's going on the pancake. And on the pancake is that the Gemara says that you make a bracha of hamitzi. So, kitzur, it's a very big. There's a lot of confusion over here. But the thread that runs through all of this confusion, and that's really where we have to keep our eye on, is the following. We definitely have some kind of bread in our Gemara. This third Gemara, Abaye, what Rav Yosef told Abaye, that there is some kind of bread, however, whatever you want to call it, kuba da'ara, trisa da'ara, there is some kind of bread that you make mezainis on it, but if you kavei sud, it becomes a mitzi. And you yotzi chayves matzah. There is such a bread. Is that kind of bread chayiv and chala or potem and chala? Meaning, where does the chayiv chala line up? Does it line up that if something is potem and chala, then it's brachas mezainis, because it's not a bread, that's why it's mezainis, and yet somehow, if you convey a suda on it, it could become a bread and you make hamaitzi, even though it's potem and chala? Is that the way it lines up? Or does it line up the other way around? It lines up that something that's chayiv and chala, certain that you can't make hamaitzi in something that's not chayiv and chala, because then it's not a bread. In order to make hamaitzi, even with kriya suda, it has to be a bread. To be a bread, it has to be chayiv and chala. But nonetheless, there are certain breads that even though they're chayiv and chala and they're bread, and if you kavei suda on them, you make hamaitzi, but somehow, for some reason, there are circumstances, if you're not kavei suda on them, then they're only mezainis. That's the fundamental issue here in the sugyot. So you have to sort of ignore all the noise about the different kishsois and so on, but that's the fundamental issue here in the sugyot. So, for example, let's talk about kuba da'ara. Kuba da'ara. Never mind the riff and the rabbinah. Kuba da'ara. The rush is gears in the gemara. Kuba da'ara. So the Gemara says in the beginning of the Gemara, Truknin is Kuba Da'ara, it's Chayiv and Chal. The Yisrael Ga'inim said it's Potem and Chal. Then we have a Gemara at the end that it's Mezoinois, but if you Kaveh Suda, you make kind of Amaitzi. And you Yotzi Chayiv Asur B'Pesach. The Rosh is Gairis that it's Chayiv and Chal. The Rosh Gairis is brings you. It's Chayiv and Chal. So it's Chayiv and Chal. And nonetheless, the Bracha is Mezoinois, but if you Kaveh Suda, it becomes a Amaitzi. Now, that misses in Svara, that Mahalach of the Rosh is the easiest to understand. Because it has an analog to Pasav Obekistin. We have another Gemara, Gemara Daf Membeis. The Gemara talks about Pasav Obekistin. Pasav Obekistin, also the Rokas Mizainis, but if you ate enough of it, that Odom Kaveya, that Acherim Kavim Olav Suda, that people are Kaveya Suda on it, the Gemara says in Daf Membeis, then it becomes Hamaitz. What is Pasav Obekistin? So in Yishayim, there's a number of Shitas. The shita of Rabbeinu Chananel is that it's like a Danish. It's a bread, but it has a packet, and in the packet they put sugar and nuts and raisins, and so it's like a bread, but it has a filling. It's a bread with a sweet filling. The Rambam learns that it's a bread that's made with nilosh b'yayin or b'dvash. It's like a honey cake. It's a bread. I don't know if it's a blue oval, blue rock, presumably it's a blue oval, let's say, but it's full of, it's needed, the liquid that it's needed with is yayin or shemen or juice. So that's a second shot. And then there's a third shot that it means crackers. So the Beis Yosef says, very important Beis Yosef, says in Kuf Samachez, he says it's a dover poshut that Pasav Obekistin is chayav mechal. He says, certainly, if you learn like the Rambam, that Pasav Obekistin means it's a bread that's kneaded with yayin and shemen. So it's a mishnah mefaresh and chala that isa sheni sheni loyshu b'mei peros, an isa that's made with juice instead of water is chayiv and chala. And the Beis Yosef assumes that juice and wine, it's all the same thing. For this, it makes no difference. And so it's definitely chayiv and chala. Even if the other pshatim that is, even if the Rabbeinu Chananel that it's a bread that has a packet that's full of jelly, shlamis also chayin chal. Nice, it's a bread. So you filled the packet in with jelly maybe even before you baked it. But it's hard to imagine that it's potim in a chal. But Yosef assumes for dover pshat that pasav obekistin, he's mechiyachit from the Rambam that pasav obekistin means that it's nilosh with the ayin and shemen and vash. He assumes may Paris will be the same thing, and that's already a mishnah mufureshes that passed that's chayiv and chal. But the Rabbeinu Chananel, but the Beis Yosef, I think, says it in all of the shitas of Pasav Obekistin that it's a dover poshut that Pasav Obekistin is lechem, and therefore it's chayiv and chal. So why is the bracha mezainis? Says the bracha is mezainis because since it's normally eaten as a dessert, it's not eaten it's not eaten for a kviyas sudha. So therefore, Chazal were misakin on it, the bracha mezainis. They're only misakin the bracha mamaitzi for bread that's eaten as the kind of bread that you eat as the mainstay of a meal. And but that's why if you were kaveh suda on the pasav obekistin, then it does go back up to being amaitzi lechem naaretz. So that's the paradigm. That's why always normally the simple assumption is that to be lechem, to make a bracha mamaitzi lechem in aretz, you can't make a bracha mamaitzi lechem in aretz on something that's potem in a challah. Because if it's potem in a challah, then it's not a lechem. You could be kaveh sudan from today till tomorrow, it doesn't become a lechem. You could be kaveh sudan apples, they don't become lechem. You're not going to make hamaitzi if you kaveh sudan apples. If you kaveh sudan spaghetti, it's halacha, it's a dover poshut. At least in Paiskim, it's a dover poshut. If you kaveh sudan spaghetti, you don't make hamaitzi. Well, maybe spaghetti is a bad example because you haven't been a tam. But whatever, if you convey a suda on something that's not lechem at all, so what is he going to make hamaitz lechem? It's a sheker. It's not lechem. You can't make it lechem if it's not lechem. So from the very fact that by Pasav Obekistin you could make hamaitz lechem in Eretz if you eat enough of it, so you see that fundamentally it's lechem, and if fundamentally it's lechem, then it's chayav and chal. So why do you only make, why if you're only eating a little bit of cake, not a kviya suda's worth, so why do you only make a mezainis? Says the Beis Yosef, because on a bread that's not made for kviya suda, it's not the recipe, it's not a recipe that's normally used for kviya suda, so such a bread, it's still a bread, it's chayav and chala, but you only make a bracha bari mini mezainis. When you are kviya suda on it, then it reveals its true colors, that it's really a bread, it's chayav and chala, and then already you could make a bracha b'mayt shilechem in haaretz. So that's the paradigm of Pasav Obekistin. I never heard of a shita that holds that Pasav Obekistin is potem in a chala. So if you go, so now here we have Kubadara, sounds like Pasa Baba Kistan. The Gemara in Lamed Chesem Alaf Bay, Rabbi Yosef said to Bay, Kubadara has the same dinim. It's Mizoinus, but if you convey Suda on it, it becomes Hamaisi. So it sounds like it could become a Lechem. And if you Yotzi Chayvas Matzah, that certainly implies that it's a Lechem. Matzah has to be a Lechem, Lechem Oini. So it sounds very much like a Pasa Baba Kistan kind of situation. It's really a lechem. If kaveh sudan, if you make hamotzi, you yosi chayves matzah. So clearly it's a lechem, and if it's a lechem, well, if it's a lechem, then what should we expect? We should expect that it's chayev and chalav, which works very well, stims very well. The sheet of the rosh was goyim in the gemara that kubadara is chayev. The goyim, the rosh, that kubadara is chayev and chalav. Gevaldik, everything stims. Everything is exactly parallel to pasuk of b'kisnin. Kubadara is chayim and chala, it's really a bread, but it's not a kind of bread that people are normally kavei sudan, for whatever the reason is, people are not kavei sudan. So therefore, it's only a mezoinus. But if you are kavei sudan, so then it becomes hamaisi. And since it's fundamentally a bread, you actually have his matzah. And this also seemed to be the sheet of the Rambam. It's hard to know how the Rambam was goris with Kubadarba and Trisadarba. The Rambam doesn't use those terminologies, so you don't know exactly how the Rambam was goris in the Gemara. But the Rambam does say, in Hilchas Brachas, the Rambam says in Perek Gimel, that an iso shenefes bekarka, that a dough that was baked in the ground, let's say, sounds like, I don't know if that's what the Rambam calls Trisadarba, Kubadarba, any of that, but the Rambam says a bread that's baked in the ground, the Brachas mezoinis, but if you kavei sudan at the Brachas amaitzi. And Hilchas Challah, in Perek Vav of Bikurim, Halacha Yud Beis, the Rambam says that a dough that's baked in the ground is Chayav and Challah. So that seems to be the Rambam's Kubadara, or Kubad Triso. What's the difference? What are we going to call it? You know, a rose by any other name. It's a bread that's baked in the ground. The Rambam says it's Chayav and Challah. And on the other hand, the Brach is Mezoinus, unless you convey Suda, then it becomes Amaisi. So that's very nice, and it's very analogous to Pasuk Baba Kistan. And in fact, the Rambam in Hilchas Brachos, again, it's Perek Gimel Halacha Tes, the Rambam puts it together within the Pasuk Baba Kistan. The Rambam says, an Isa Shenefes Bekarka is Mezoinus, if you give a Sudan, it's Hamaitzi, and then he said, I don't remember if he used the word Bechein or not, but he says, but it's the same Halacha, and Pasuk Baba Kistan also, the Bracha is Mezoinus, if you give a Sudan or not, the Bracha becomes Hamaitzi. So very good. So we have a little bit of, you know, cleared away, something which is clear, which is we understand now at least one sheet over here that Kubadara, if you want to call it Kubadara, the Rosh school, that Kubadara is Potem and Achal, I'm sorry, it's Chayiv and Chala, because it's fundamentally a Lechem, but it's Mezoinis, because it's not made for Kviya Suda. If you are Kviya Suda on it, then it becomes Hamaisi. Exactly analogous to Hasaba Ababa Kisni.
We're equating the Shittas Rosh, this is analogous to Pasuk Piskin, exactly. Mm-hmm. Then is it possible to stem it with the Torah who says that by Pasuk Piskin it's going to be dependent on Shir Shah Hirin, Regil Nikvoa, because based on the Gemara, it seems like it's really subjective based on
So that's an issue. We're going to come to that. I think we're going to get ahead of us. Right now, it sounds like it's analogous to Pasuk Piskin. The Rambam has the same Lashon by both. In Kova Sudolov, then it becomes Hamaitzi. The Rambam does not use neither by Pasa Baba Kistan nor by Yisra HaNefes Bekarko. He doesn't use the Lashon of Acherim Kaivin Osud. He says, in Kova Sudolo. Does that mean he was Kaveh Suda? People are Kaveh Suda in such an amount? The Rambam sounds like he was Kaveh Suda. The Lashon of Gemara basis is Shir Shacherim Kaivin Osud. So that's, I don't know, maybe the Rambam had a different Gishne Kamar, lawyer there. But the Rambam does not distinguish between, as far as the nature of the Kviya Suda, between Pasa Baba Kistan. And I'll read you the Ram. What was it again? Perek Gimel Chates. Isa Shenefes Bekarko Kamesha Harovim Shechnim Et Borois Oifim. Like the Bedouins make, Chayil Ve'Eino Let Tzuris Pass. Since it doesn't have Tzuris Pass, well, that's interesting. Mevorchen Ela B'Tchila Bari Minim Mizaynus. This is interesting. Ram's telling me it's a pshat. Why on this Isa Shenefes Bekarka? Why is it only a Mizaynus? So he says because it doesn't have a Tzuris Pass. So Teresa Den Ahamo. That's not the way Pass normally looks. Okay. Mvarcha b'tchil barim mina mezaynis. So it lacks in, I guess it's lack of chashivas of some sort. So it's that. So it's only mezaynis. M'kovah sudole. But it's still challah. It's still chayim and challah. So it's not, even though it doesn't have a tzuris lechem, it's not, you can't say it's not a lechem at all, because it is chayim and challah. It doesn't have a tzuris lechem. And the Easter that was needed with vash shem and cholov, or you mixed it with all kinds of spices and so on. Even though it isn't bread, Yesh lama talk on the shinui haloshen of the Rambam that when it comes to the isur shenefes bekarka, he says it doesn't have a tsuris pass, and when it comes to pasav of a kistin, he says afal pi shehi pass, even though it is a pass. Is that a difference? Is it not a difference? It's hard to believe that the isur shenefes bekarka is not a pass because the Rambam Pilchas Bikurim says that it's chayim and chala. Ulo yesh lemar because it's. Maybe it became chayim and chala before you baked it in the ground. But maybe now that you baked it in the ground, it's not such a pass. Ulay, there's more complete mechalik, but there's no big need in the Rambam to be mechalik because they both have the same halacha, and the Rambam puts them together with the vechein. So the vechein and the fact that the halachas are identical, you know, that conduces to saying it's fundamentally the same idea. It is a pass. But it's a pass that's either full of patravis, full of sweetenings, sweet stuff. So it's not the kind of bread you kaveh sudan, or it doesn't have the tzur of a pass. So also, it's not the kind of bread you maybe kaveh sudan because it doesn't have the tzur of a bread. But then, if you took it and you made it into a suda, you made a suda out of it. So then you sat down, you had a chocolate cake for lunch. So then it becomes chayavin, or you had lekach for lunch, honey cake. So then it's chayev in chayev in chal. Okay, so that's a shita, the Rosh, the Rambam, so that we understand. So what about the shita segoinim? So let's go on. What about the goinim? The goinim agaris that kuba da'ara is potem in achalo. The ritual brings gisa segoinim that kuba da'ara is potem in achalo. Even though the Gemara says on Lamed Ches that kuba da'ara, if you come in soon on it, becomes a maitzi. Well, if it's potem in achalo, then it's not a lechem. If it's not a lechem, then what does it matter if you kaveh sud on it? How can we kaveh sud to turn something that's not a lechem into a lechem? For that matter, why yetzichayv is matzah? By matzah not being kaveh sud on it. So how yetzichayv, if it's not a lechem, it's potem in a chal, it's not a lechem, so how could you be yetzichayv is matzah? And also, we could ask the other way around. That's enough. That's a question enough. What's the havon in the shita segayim? If something that's enough of a bread that if you convey a sudan at the tamaytzi, so then you see that it's a bread, like pasav of a kistan. If you convey a sudan at tamaytzi, so it's a bread. So why in the world? Why is it potem and chal? Why is it different than pasav of a kistan that a chayv and chal? So how do we understand the shita segayim? So the Ritva has a lashon. The lashon of the Ritva is He says the, he quotes the Goyim, and he says the Kevin de Leka Gilgal Klal Ptura. Since there's no Gilgal, it's Potem in a Chal. It sounds to me that the Ritva say that the Ritva saying Pshat in the Goyim that it is a lechem. Why is the lechem? Otherwise, how do you make hamotzi when you're kaveh sudan? But since it's a lechem that doesn't have a gilgul, gilgul means when you need the dough, it's a blue liraka, you don't need it with a K. You don't need the dough. It's no gilgul. So it's potim in a chal and a technicality. Because the chi of chal is chal b'shas gilgul. So it's like a bread. It's a bread that's potim in a chal and a technicality. Like the moshul ma davadayma. What if you had a bread, but it was potim in a challah because b'shas gilgul belonged to a guy? So would you not make hamotzi on it? Why do you make hamotzi on it? Hamotzi depends on whether or not it's bread. Doesn't depend on whether it's not a challah. Normally it goes together. If it's bread, it's chayav challah, and if it's bread, it's the brachas hamotzi. But something that's bread and it's potim in a challah and a technicality because it belonged to a guy, for example, so the b'shas gilgul belonged to a guy, so then it's still going to be with the bracha. Will still be hamotzi. So maybe the Ritva I'm suggesting, the Ritva is saying Pshat in the Gainim, that the Trukten, they're Potem and Achala, this Kuba Da'ara, it's Potem and Achala for a technical reason, because it didn't have a Gilgul. So if it didn't have a Gilgul, there's no moment when it could become Chayim and Chala. But fundamentally, it's bread. Or Raya, if you convey a Sudan, you make a Bracha Vamaitzi, and you Yaitzi Chayim is Matzah, because fundamentally it's a bread. So why is it mizaynus when you're not kaveh sudan? Oh, that we could already say, like by pasuk baba kisan, it's a kind of bread, but it's a kind of bread that's not normally used for kaveh sudan. So if you're not kaveh sudan on it, they were misakin for it to bracha lamaitzi. If you are kaveh sudan on it, then they were misakin for it to bracha lamaitzi, like we find by pasuk baba kisan. But fundamentally, it's bread. That's why you're yitzchay chayv is matzah. The tur chal is for technical reasons because it doesn't have a gilgul. Yeah.
In the Ramban and the Rash, in the case where you had a blue operating plan to cook it, where either it's not chayv and challah b'shas gilgul because it's inherently not made in challah, or the planning to cook it undermines it. Then when you bake it and it is chayv and challah, is that chayv and challah?
You see from there that the chi of challah could be challah even after the gilgul. Yeah, it's telling me half to make challah, but at least there was a gilgul. Even if it's a blila rakam, they may be holding that a blila rak is also called a gilgul. But the Shitas Agayinim is that a Gilgul, that a Blila Rak is not called a Gilgul. So it never had a Gilgul. A bread that doesn't have a Gilgul is not Chayim and Chal. It's not going to be, it's not Doima too. We'll have to say anyway that the Gayinim hold that the Din, anyway, Lechayra comes out, that the Gayinim hold that a Blila Rak is Potem and Achal, like Rabbeinu David. What about the Mishnah about Chilos HaSufkin? And we'll have to learn like Rabbeinu David, like the Ramban, that Chilos HaSufkin doesn't mean a Blila Rak. It means that it was, he was planning to cook it, or it was, one of those Potem. Lechayra, that's how it comes out, because why is this any different? So Blila Raka, at least the way the Ritva presents the Goyim, that the reason why Truknin Kubadara is Potem and Achala is because it doesn't have a Gilgul, so then it follows that a Blila Raka is the same thing. Like, why? That's the Pshatan of Blila Raka. It doesn't have a Gilgul. If this doesn't have a Gilgul, that doesn't have a Gilgul. And that's the reason. It sounds like the Ritva is saying that by itself is enough reason to be Potem and Achala. So it'll come out, I think, if Kudafidis Ma'alach, which I think is Mashmah the Lashon L'Ritva, that the reason why Truknin Apotim and Achala and the reason why the Bracha is Mizoynus is two different things. The fact that it's Mizoynus has to do with the fact that it's not the Derech Tipi Kavei Sudanit. But if you are Kavei Sudanit, then it's Hamaitz. It means fundamentally it's Lechem. V'araya, you see if you Yotzi Chayv is Matzah. The fact that it's Potim and Achala, so then it should be Chayv and Chala, really. It's Potim and Achala for different reasons entirely, because then it doesn't have a Gilgul. But not having a Gilgul has nothing to do with the Baruch HaMaitzi. You cannot have a Gilgul, and you can still have a Baruch HaMaitzi. That's the Pshat, and that's the Ritva's Mahalach.
Based on Manny's question, would you say that therefore it's not analogous to a gilgul that was owned by a non-Jew, the Shas gilgul? Because you could say by that, once it's purchased by the non-Jew, that at least it had a gilgul. So therefore, once you
right, but there I think the din is that if it belonged to a guy, Shas gilgul is potter, even if Jew buys it later.
Why
is that different than the case with later? I don't know, but that is different. Maybe it's like the Ram is lashon. It's the lashon of the Ramban rather. Ma'isim ma'itzim de machshava. When you actually bake it, so it's like retroactive that you mafkia the machshava to cook it. And now it becomes that it's really a bread that was going to be baked. And it's chayev maybe retroactively even from the Shas Gilgal. You see the way the Ramban presented it, that if you were planning to cook it and then you decided to bake it, the Ramban didn't say, well, okay, now you're baking it. He says, Maisa Maitsi Mide Machshava. The Machshava to cook it now is uprooted. That's the Shas. So retroactively, it was Chayav all along. But if the Gilgal belonged to a guy, then it's Pot. Okay, so far so good. So at this point, Lamaisa, it comes out that we're still going. Yeah.
Why is it the zone? It is lacha.
Right.
It is something that's not lacha, whether you're
Kesis
or not.
So we'll say like the Beis Yosef, this is by Pasei Baba Kistin, that Chazal were only misakin the bracha of Hamaitzi on the kinds of breads that are typically used for Kriya Sudah. But breads that are not used for Kriya Sudah, Chazal were not misakin for it, the special Choshev of bracha of Hamaitzi Lechem and Arts, unless you are actually being Kriya Sudah. So Akapanim, so far we have in the Shita of the Rosh, and even in the Ga'inim, the way the Ritva explains it, that fundamentally, in order to make Hamaitzi, even if you require that you're Kaveh Sud on it, but the fact that there's a potential ever to make Hamaitzi means that it is a Lechem. And if it is a Lechem, then it ought to be Chayiv in Challah. So being Chayiv in Challah is like lines up with having any possible way of making Hamaitzi. If there's any possible way to make Hamaitzi, then basically you should be Chayiv in Challah. And if you're chayiv in challah, then there should be some way in which you make hamaitzi. Maybe not if you're only eating a little bit. That may be not. But at least if you're eating a lot, then you make hamaitzi. However, this is Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah. Again, we have to readjust for the girsa change. Like we're going now into a different girsa zone. That in Rabbeinu Yonah, there's no such thing as kubad ara. There's only trisa. But he translates Trisa the way Rashi translates Kubba Da'ara. So we just have to adjust for the language change. So in Rabbeinu's world, what we've been calling Kubba Da'ara in Rabbeinu Yonah's world is called Trisa. But it doesn't really make such a difference. He has two Gersois about Trisa, if the Chayav and Chala, not Chayav and Chala. The way the Ritva had two Gersois in Kubba Da'ara, so the Ritva has two Gersois in the Rabbeinu Yonah rather has two Gersois in Trisa. And then the Gemara that says you make Mezoinus, and if you convey Sudi, you make Hamaitzi, which in Agam is talking about Kubba Da'ara. In Rabbeinu Yonah, it's talking about Trisa Da'ara. So we just have to translate Kubba Da'ara. Now we're in a world where we use the word Trisa. But the fundamental issues have not changed. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, it's the first Rabbeinu Yonah, Lamed Chesem and Aleph. In my Gemara, the Ezra Hod Gemara, it's Daf Ayin Beis. Or Omer Ayin Beis, the second column. Hi Trisa Da'ara, that's the Dibur Maschel. Hi Trisa Da'ara, Mavarach Levarim Minim Mizoinus. So he says like this. Ladas Rashi, he had said earlier that he thinks that Rashi is Goyris, that you're Chayiv and Chala, that it's Chayiv and Chala, that Trisa is Chayiv and Chala. So he says, Ladas Rashi, that Trisa is Chayiv and Chala. And here the Gemara says that it's mezainos if you're not kaveh sudan it. So tshichem anu loymar shehefesh sheyesh ben trisa zu l'trisa she'amru l'maylo. It must be that it's a different trisa, because if it's the same trisa, what sense does it make that it's chayev and chala and the bracha is mezainos? If it's chayev and chala, the bracha should be hamaisi. So it must be it's a different trisa. Shezu asuya bekarka. This trisa is called trisa da'ara. It's made in the ground. Shederech lasis hasheichnu ba'olim. And the Gemara before that Trisa is Chayim and Chal is talking about a Trisa that's made in a Kli. It's only a Bekira Atzma, a Kli inside the Kira. So therefore, since it's made in the ground over here, so that's why it's only Hamaitzi. You don't make Hamaitzi, you make a Mizainis. And it's Takanat Chayim and Chal, Eina Chayim is Bechal. Since it's on the ground, so it's not a blila ova, it's more raka. It doesn't have the same kind of blila like other isais. It's thinner than other isais, and that's why the bracha it's going to be takapotim and achala, and the bracha will be, and that's why the bracha is mezainus. So very interesting. Rabbeinu Yonah holds that. If Trisa is Chayiv and Chala, it can't have a Bracha Mezainis. It doesn't make sense. In other words, the Gersa that to us made the most sense, Rabbeinu Yonah says doesn't make any sense. We started off that the Gersa that was the easiest to understand was that Trisa is, or Kubba Da'ara and then the other, you know, the other terminology, that it's Chayiv and Chala. And that's why if you convey Sudan, it's Taka Maitzi and Yerich 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 Matzah, because it's basically a bread. But if you're only eating a little bit, then the bracha is mezoinos because it's like a pasuk of a kistin, that it's also bread. But if you're only eating a little bit, so the bracha is mezoinos, like the Beis Yosef explained. Rabbi Yoina says, no, that can't be. By him, that's inconceivable. If Kubo Da'ara is chayav in chala, or if in his world, Trisa is chayav in chala, which he describes to Rashi, the Gersa, that the Trisa is chayav in chala, then how could the bracha ever be mezoinos? Should I have a bracha of a maishi lechem in hearts? So it must be different trisos. This is a trisa that's in a kli, and this is a trisa that's in the ground. And the trisa that we're talking about over here, that's mezoinus, the trisa, the ara that's in the ground, that's takach potem in a chala. And that's where the bracha is mezoinus. And nonetheless, yoyshi chayv is matzah, and if you can veisud on it, the bracha becomes hamaisi. What you see in Rabbi Yoina has this fundamentally different perspective. He thinks that if something's potem in a chala, then the bracha has to be, if it's chayv in chala, the bracha has to be hamaisi. And if the bracha is mezoinus, then it can't possibly be chayim and chalav. Ad kedikach that he must that he says it must be. He posits there must be two different trisas running around because I have a gemara. The trisa is chayim and chalav. If you guys like to, anyone thinks it's gevaldik. Trisa is potem and a chalav, and it's then the bracha is mezoinus. Very good. But if you guys like Rashi, that trisa is chayim and chalav. So if it's chayim and chalav, how could the bracha ever be mezoinus? Must be it's a different trisa. And the trisa that's mezoinus is taka potem and a chalav, and that's why it's mezoinus. But if you kaveh sudan, it's hamaisi. How could it be hamaisi if you kaveh sudan? But it's potem and achal. You see, it's not a bread. And how yotzei chayves matzah if it's potem and achal? It's not a bread. And here, you can't say it's like a technicality because it didn't have a gilgal. That's to rescue a. The Ritva said that to rescue. You know, there's a gear so that's brought them in a challah, but you see, if you can make sure it's hamotzi, how could it be? So he says, yeah, because there's a technical reason why it's brought them in a challah. But the Rabbi Yoina, his point of departure is it can't be. It can't be that it's chayim and challah. It can't be that it's chayim and challah and it should have a bracha mezainis. If it's chayim and challah, the bracha has to be hamotzi. Why can't it be? It's chayim and challah. In other words, Rabbi Yoina doesn't say, how could Teresa be chayim and challah that doesn't have a gilgul? That he doesn't ask. That he's willing to concede that it might. He could conceive that it might be chayav and chala. Right? He's not saying it can't be. It could be chayav and chala. But if it's chayav and chala, it can't be mezainis. What do you mean? Why can't it be mezainis? Why is it different? Passive over kistin. Passive over kistin. Chayav is chayav and chala, and it is a bracha mezainis. Unless we'll say Rabbi Yoina holds a passive over kistin is also potem in a chala. But it happens to be there. I mean, any shita is that pasuk b'kistin is that it's a bread with a pocket, like the Rabbeinu Chananel. It's a bread with a pocket that's full of nuts and raisins and stuff like that. Maybe he thinks it's potem in a challah. I don't know if that would be a meyer de kachidish that he thinks that pasuk b'kistin is potem in a challah. Maybe that's what we have to say. The Rabbeinu, since Rabbeinu Yonah makes it an axiom that anything that's chayav and challah must be hamaitzi immediately, not only if you kaveh suda, but it has to be hamaitzi immediately. And Pasav of a Kistin is not a Maitzi immediately. It must be that it's Potem in a Chala. Okay, that's very Mechudosh. Loi Shemanu Elam, this is Shita. That Pasav of a Kistin is Potem in a Chala. Upi Yoyser. It's very hard. It's hard to understand. If it's really not a bread, if he thinks that Trisa is Potem in a Chala, this Trisa, the Ara, is really Potem in a Chala, so then how does it help to be Kaveh Sudan? But it's potem in a challah. It's not a bread. So what do you do? You can't make a, well, what's the expression? You can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear or something. You never heard that? Anyway, you can't, what are you going to, what is that? If it's not a lechem, what does it help to convey a suda? And how are you going to chayvus matzah? By matzah, you're not convey suda the matzah, only because I is matzah. Maybe the mitzvah makes it into a kviyah suda. Very much just to say that. I was thinking like this. How to explain this to Rabbi Yoina? If you look back at Rabbi Yoina at the beginning of the sugya by Trisa, which for him is the beginning of the sugya, Trisa p'turim in a chala. right? Do you have it? It's in my Gemara's Ayin Aleph, Man Aleph, the second column, Dibur Maskel Trisa. It's the first Rabbeinu in the Sugya. Trisa Ptura Menachal, Zui Gersus HaGleinim. My Trisa Mirtuch Gvil. Pirish Rashi Zal, Shebekira, Atzma, Oise, Gumo, Venoisen, Shem, Kemach, Umayim, Umagab, Menoise, Venefesha. Venir Shigaris Chayevis. Became Shuosi Derech Gibol, Lomati Ptura. But Efshel Hamid Perisha, Filo Gersus Ptura, the Kemen Shain Zederech Gilgul, Binyani is explaining why, according to the Gaonim, is this Gvil Mirtuch, which again, in Binyani's world is the Kubadara, the hole in the ground. So he's coming to explain why is it Potem Menachalo. After all, it has a gibel. It has, you know, you mix together flour and water. You're Megabel. You didn't mix together the flour and the water. So why is it not a why is it Potem Menachalo? So he says so. So maybe Gersh Chayev Taka, maybe Taka Gersh should be Chayev. But then he explains, no, you could say the same Mitzias of the hole in the ground, and you could still have the Ga'inim's Gersh with this potter. And he says the Hasbara is because since it's not Derech Gilgul, Vein Derech La Soisi La Chilas Kva. So he sounds like he's combining two things. It's not Derech Gilgul, and it's not the Derech to make it an Asiyas Kva, an Achilas Kva. Not so clear. What's the tzir of HaTaimim? Is this two different reasons, two different possibilities? Or he's saying, it doesn't sound like the way. It sounds like he's saying one hasbar. The reason why it's Potem and Achala is because it's not Derech Gilgul. Now, if it would stop there, I have saw Ritva, Gilgul. You need to have Gilgul. There's no Gilgul, so there's no Chiyuv. Doesn't say that. He says, it's not Derech Gilgul, and it's not the Derech to eat it, to make it, to eat it as an Achilas Kva. So it seems the fact that it's not a Derech Gilgul, that by itself is not the Ptur. So what is it? Why is that mitzaref to the fact that it's not the derech to make it achilas kva? And that also by itself seems to be not sufficient reason. There's some kind of synergy, negative synergy, between the fact that it's not derech gilgul and it's not the derech to eat it as an achilas kva, and that's why it's potem in a chal. So I think what he's saying is that the reason why triso is potem in a chal is because it's talking about a lechem. It's potem and achal, it's not a lechem. But the reason why it's not a lechem is because it's garua. It's a pas, it's a garua dikapas. People don't use it. People don't make a meal around it. They don't bring out the martach vil, the gril martach, the trisha. They don't bring it out to make a meal around it because it's garua. It's not like a bread. It's a blila raka. It's not really thick like a bread, so it's because. But not that that's a technical tour from challah, but he's saying because of it has this very thin texture, not a substantial texture, so people don't use it for an achilas kva, and that makes it garua, and it's the garua shaboy, the fact that it's a pas garua is the reason why it's not choshev as a lechem and it's potem in a challah. That's a tzirif ha-taimun. If he just said people don't use it for an achilas kva for no reason, you know, there could be many reasons why people don't use bread for an achilas kva. Pasav over kisten, for example, people also don't use it. The Beis Yosef says pasav over kisten is mezainis because people don't use it for an achilas kva. But it's not because it's garua. The reason why people don't use Danish as for an achilas kva is not because the Danish is garua, but because it's so such a delicacy that you eat a little bit of it for dessert. You don't eat it for your to fill you up. You eat it at the end as a dessert. So it's the fact that it's more elevated, more refined. You only eat a little bit of it as a dessert. So, you know, they bring it on a little dessert plate with a little tiny fork, and that's how you eat it. So that's why it's not used for an achilas kva. That's mitzvah mal yuso. That's about a chayav and chalo. Here it's the other way around. The reason why it's not used for an achilas kva is because it's garua. Because it's not, because it's a blila rako. You just mix it and throw it in the oven, and it doesn't, you don't, it's not invested. It doesn't have the same weight as the regular bread, so it's not substantial enough to be. It's not choshev enough. Not choshev enough to be considered to be used as an achilas kva. And that's what makes it into not a lechem, and that's why it's potem in a chal. So it's fundamentally different than a pasav over kisnin. Pasav over kisnin is not used for an achilas kva because it's too choshev for an achilas kva. It's a dessert, and kubad this trisa de ara. it's not used for mechilas kva, but it's mitzadis greisa, not derech gilgul. It's not like other pas. And derech vasoisa lechilas kva, because not derech gilgul. And going back to the end of the sugya loshon, that it's ein oisa oisa ova v'yefshe shetia blilosa k'moy shara isais. When you make this trees in the ground, it's not ova, and it can't become ova like other isais. It means it's under a handicap. You make it in the ground, and since when you make it in the ground, you can't really make a blila ova. When you pour it into a hole in the ground, you can't really make a blila ova the way you would make a regular bread. So it's a kiroyin. So at least these are showing us a mashmit kiroyin. It's a paskarua. That's why it's at the derech tikkavei sudah. So zochinu, that I think what it says here in Rabbeinu Yoina is that yet pasav b'kisnin and trisa they have in common that you don't use them for an achilas kva, but for an opposite reason. Pasav b'kisnin you don't use them for an achilas kva because it's too chashuv. So you don't eat it in such quantities. You take it. You know it's like caviar. You have tiny little amounts of it. You don't squander it on an achilas kva. You have it for dessert. Here it's the other way around. Here the reason why it's not used for an achilas kva is because it's garua, and because it's garua, it's not a lechem. If that's the case, so maybe we could understand where Rabbeinu Yonah is coming from. Rabbeinu Yonah is told by pasav b'kisnin, avada it's a lechem. It's chayim l'chal. Of course it's chayim l'chal. Why not? It's a lechem. It's a better lechem, better quality of lechem. It's a super refined lechem. So avada it's chayim l'chal. Why is the bracha mezoinis? Bracha mezoinis because it's used for dessert. So it's, since it's used for dessert, so the bracha is mezoinis. If you have it for the main meal, if you're a profligate guy that you have this chashuv thing that most other people who squanders such expensive kind of bread, who squanders it on the main meal? You have a little bit for dessert, but you're a guy, you have the dessert for the main course because you have the money or you have the appetite. Okay, so then for you it's hamaisi. So that's possible b'kisnin. It's chayav and chal regardless because of aratz alechem. Well, here it's the other way around. Here it's something that it's garua. Because it's garua, it's not alechem. It's potem and achal. And that's why it's mezoinus. It's not mezoinus because people are too sparing to eat such an amount of it. It's mezoinus because it's garua. But if you kaveh a suda on it, so what is it helping you kaveh a suda on it? If you kaveh a suda on it, then it's an achshave. Then you give it chashivus. Most people would not have this for their main meal. They would look down on having it for an achilas kva. They would look down the nose at having it for achilas kva. But if you're a guy, maybe you're very poor, and this is all you have. You're a Bedouin or something. This is what you have. So then by you, this is an achilas kva. So you made it choshev. By you, it's choshev. By other people, it's not. But by you, it's choshev. If by you, it's choshev, then you turn it into a lechem. The achshave turns it into a lechem. But once it's an achshave, then I could hear from matzah also. If you're using it for achilas matzah, then maybe it's an achshave. Or maybe as lechem ayni. Maybe lechem ayni doesn't have to be such a choshev of bread. Maybe that's part of the idea of lechem ayni. Lechem ayni means takanat a choshev of bread, and we don't. Forget, the Torah says the less choshev the better. So lechem ayni, fine. It's takanat ayni. It's takanat ayni. It stands very well. The lechem ayni in my matzah is a milah. So for lechem ayni, it is a lechem. But for regular lechem, balabatish lechem, it's not a lechem. So that's why Rabbeinu Yoina was pushed by Rabbeinu Yoina, that he said, if trisa is chayav and chala, that means it's good enough to be lechem, then why wouldn't it be hamaitzi? Right, that was his kasha on Rashi. He said, Rashi's good, he thinks Rashi's good as trisa is chayav and chala, even though the Vinim Sugi wasn't so sure. But okay, but there's a gist that's chayav and chala, you can cue it to Rashi. The Vinim Sugi wasn't so sure that's what Rashi holds. I'm not quite sure what's with that, but Akoponim, he says, Rashi says that trisa is chayav and chala, so how come the bracha is mezoinus? So he says, must be two different trisas. There's one trisa that's chayav and chala, and it's taka amaitzi. There's another trisa that's mezoinus, and it's taka potem and chala, because it's not like other isas. What was his kash in the first place? Maybe it's chayav and chala, but the bracha is mezoinus, like you find by pasav b'kisnin. The answer is not doimah to pasav b'kisnin. Pasav b'kisnin is mezoinus because it's too good to be hamaitzi. It's too good to be hamaitzi. It's too good to be used for a kriya suda, use it for dessert. So of course it's chayav and chala. But over here, the reason why it's mezoinus is because it's too prost to be mezoinus, to be hamaitzi. It's too inferior to be called, it's too inferior to be a hamaitzi. Well, if it's too inferior to be hamaitzi, so Rabbeinu Yonah assumes then that it shouldn't be chayav and chal either, because if it's too inferior to be called a lechem, then it should be potem and a chal also. So it's in the chanami, must be two different cases. This trisa and this trisa da'ach. I think that's the one, Rabbeinu Yonah. I think there would be a big rabbi here. the tour paskins that kuba da'ara, which is a hole in the ground, is chayiv and chalim. And the bracha, he says, and kuba da'ara is hamaitzi. Then he says that trisa, which is like a pancake, is potim and achala. And the bracha is mizoynos, but if you kaveh sud on it, then it becomes hamaitzi. So I told you, Rishayis doesn't understand how it stems with the Gemara, because the Gemara says that kuba da'ara is the one that's mizoynos, and if you kaveh sud on it, it's hamaitzi. And in the Torah, it sounds like kuba da'ara is hamaitzi off the bat, and it's trisa that's mizoynos in the kaveh sud on it, it's hamaitzi. So Rishayis is mighty the Torah mipshot from its simple reading, and he says that last line of the Torah is going back on the case before, but the simple reading of the Torah is that kuba da'ara is chayim and chala and tamaiti right away, and trisa is potem and chala and it's mezainos, but if you kaveh sudana then it goes up to hamaitzi. How the two is going in the Gemara? Maybe had at the beginning of the sugya like our Gemara that kuba da'ara is chayim and chala, but the Gemara at the end Rav Abba and Rav Yosef maybe had like the riff that it's talking about trisa. And trisa is mezainos and the Gemara, and if you kaveh sudana it's hamaitzi. Leaving aside the gishish, right? The gishish is like a mitzvah all by itself. But akapanim, it sounds the halacha that it says in Torah is very similar to Rabbeinu Yoina. You know, Rabbeinu Yoina is talking about a hole in the ground. He's talking about a pancake. But conceptually, I see in the Torah also that the thing that's chayiv and chala, which is by him the hole in the ground, the kubadara, the thing that's chayiv and chala is hamitzi right away. The thing that's potim and achala, that's the one that's mezoinus, but if you convey a sud on it, it becomes hamitzi. That's setup is a Rabbeinu Yonah Dika setup. But you have a bread that's potim and achala, it's really not a bread, and it's mezoinus on that account, but if you kaveh sud on it, you turn it into a bread. You know, I think in the world of, before Rabbeinu Yonah, you know, the non-Rabbeinu Yonah world, how could that be? If it's not chayav and achala, it's not a bread. If it's not a bread, you could be kaveh sud on it from today till tomorrow, you're not going to make it into a bread. You see in the Torah, very similar to what you see in Rabbeinu Yonah. You could have something that's potim and achala. It's not a bread. This pancake is not a bread. And it's mezoinus. But if you kaveh sud on it, it becomes hamaisi. Yeah, yichilat aloimer, maybe we could say it's potim and achala in a technicality. Maybe a pancake is not called a gilgal, even the hole in the ground is a gilgal. So it would somehow be mechalik, partim mechalik. It's how the gilgal hurts the same thing. The hole in the ground and the pancake is after you megalgal it. Like, after you mix the flour in the water, so in one case you put it in the hole in the ground, the other case you put it on the skittle. So it's how the gilgal is chayav should be the same thing. So what's the... So the chayav sounds very much like Rabbeinu Yonah, that he understands that the pancake, it lacks in chashivos. It's too not chashuv to be a bread. That's why it's batim and achala, and that's why it's mezoinus. But if you kaveh sud on it, then it's an achshaveh. Because if you... Again, the Beisaysif is the Magi in the Torah, and the Shulchan Aruch he paskins like he thinks the Torah what should have said. You know, the Shulchan Aruch is this, but in the Torah itself, if you don't accept it, the Drisha says that it's hard to believe. You know, the Drisha tries to say he works on the Girsa issue, not so much the Svar issue. It's very hard to be made to the Torah Mipshuta. So if you read the Torah Kipshuta, you take the Torah at face value. So it sounds very much in the line with Rabbeinu Yonah that he also had this concept. You could have a bread that's very not chashuv, and that's why it's potim in a challah. By him, it's the pancake case, but it's very potent, very nachoshu. That's why it's potem and achala. And it's mezoinus, therefore, but if you convey a sudan, all of a sudden it becomes a amaitz. So it could be very meduyuk. Because it's interesting that by pasabo bekisnin, this is what you were talking before, by pasabo bekisnin, the lashon of the tour is that pasabo bekisnin, if you ate a quantity, that acherim kaifim olav suda, then it becomes amaitzi. On the other hand, when it comes to this trisa, where there's another case of lachmanis, which is a similar case, also a blila raka, those two cases, the lash of the Torah is, if he was kaveh suda, then it's amaitzi. Ha'adavu. If he had Torah me'ele, the Rambam, we saw this, the Rambam's not machalik in his lashon. The Rambam's the same lashon by both. Isa and Hanefis Bekarka and Pasab of Bekistin in Kovol of Suda the Brachas Hamais. Not machalik in the lashonis. But the Tur is very glaringly, and it's in the same simon. He's very glaringly machalik. When it comes to Pasab of Bekistin, he says it depends on the quantity. It doesn't matter what your intention are, if you're having it for lunch or not. If you ate a quantity that normal people would use for a Kriya Suda, then it becomes Hamaitzi. And when it comes to over here to Trisa Da'ara, the pancake, or when it comes to Lachmania, it's also Blila Rakaza. So there he says, it's Mezoinus, but if you were Kaveh Suda on it, then it becomes Hamaitzi. The way we're being Masbir, it's Kavalim Meduyak. I think it stands to reason. The Pasab of Bekistin, the reason why it's Mezoinus, is because people eat it in small quantity. Not a chashivas issue. It's very chashiv. But people eat it in very small quantities because it's a dessert food. That's why they don't eat it in the quantity that you bekevei sudan. So that's telling the quantity that you ate. So if you ate such a quantity that people would be kevei sudan, whatever the quantity is, if you ate such a large quantity, then it becomes hamaitzi. It's mezoinus because people don't eat that kind of quantity of it. But if you sat down and had so much, then you're this rich guy and you had sat down and you had so much of it. So then by you it is hamaitzi. Masha'en came by trisa, by this pancake and so on. The reason why it's mezoinus is not because it's so choshev and people only eat a little bit of it. Forget the reason why it's mezoinus is because it's so not choshev. That is not choshev that people should have it for a meal. So that's only an achshuvah. If you made it choshev, by you it's choshev. If by you it's choshev, then it becomes amazing. That's very pakam to you. Even the Shulchan Aruch is not like Rabbeinu Yonah. The Shulchan Aruch is more like the more regular mahalach. That Kuvah D'Ara is chayiv and chala. It's chayiv and chala. But the brachas mezoinus, and if you kaveh sudan, the brachas hamaitzi. So the Shulchan Aruch doesn't have we're not in the Rabbeinu Yonah world. But he also has this distinction in Lashon. That when it comes to Pasav of Bekis, then he talks about a shir that people are kaveh sudan. And when he talks about this Kuvah D'Ara, he talks about if you are Kaveh Sudan. So in the Shulchan Aruch, I don't have this Hechrach. You know, I don't see it so clearly. But it could be, and nonetheless, I'll leave it to Emes, that the Shulchan Aruch also, even though he's in a more regular conventional world, but the Shulchan Aruch might also have this distinction that Pasav Bekistin is Mezoinus because it's too Choshev. So people eat it in very small amounts. Whereas Kuvah D'Ara, he thinks it's Chayav and Chala anyway. But Kuvah D'Ara, the reason why it's Mezoinus, it's Chayav and Chala because it's still a Lechem. You know, it squeaks in and it's a Lechem. But it's a very not choshev lechem, that's why it's mezoinus. That might be true even in the world of the Shulchan Aruch, that there's a difference between Pasav Bekistin on the one hand and Kuvah D'Ara on the other. They're both mezoinus, but they're mezoinus for opposite reasons. The Kuvah D'Ara is mezoinus because it's a very not choshev bread. Rabbeinu Yonah would say it's so not choshev that it's not even chayav and chala. That the Shulchan Aruch doesn't have. It does get by to be chayav and chala. But it's so not choshev that it's mezoinus. They weren't mesakan at the brocha choshev of hamaitzi. It's the opposite of Pasav Bekistin, that's very choshev, but they weren't misakin and hamaitzi because you eat it in very small amounts. So mela, this distinction would still be make sense. That when it comes to Pasav Bekistin, if you ate a lot of it, the remedy there is to eat a lot of it. Shir, shachem, klevin, olav, suda. So then it becomes hamaitzi. What makes Kuvah D'Ara into hamaitzi is the fact that you made it choshev by being kaveh sudan. That has nothing to do with the quantity. You were kaveh sudan, and you gave it a chashivus. That might be true even in the Rambam. We saw in the Rambam also that's difference in nuance. That the Rambam also in the halacha is the same. Rambam is the same halacha by Pasav Bekistin as he has by Issa Shenefis Bekarka. It's mezoinus if kaveh sudan. It's hamaitzi, and they're both by the Rambam. They're both chayav in the chala. But he still has this lashon that by Issa Shenefis Bekarka it lacks in tzuris habas. That's why it's mezoinus. And when it comes to Pasav Bekistin, he says that it's what was his lashon again? By Pasav Bekistin, afal pishi he pass make a bracha mezoinus. Maybe even the Rambam used it. That the Rambam doesn't have a distinction between if he was kaveh suda, other people were kaveh suda. That the Rambam doesn't have. But this might still be true even in the Rambam. That the one is not is mezoinus because it's so not choshev, and the other one is mezoinus because it's so more too choshev. It's too chashuv, so you don't normally eat it for a meal. You wouldn't waste it on a regular on the meal. You save it for dessert. And the other one is so not chashuv that you wouldn't normally want to serve it for a meal. That's how to shavash b'em, that it's not what you use for a meal, so it's mezainis. But if in kavasud, if you did use it for the meal, then it becomes hamaitzi. But in the Rambam, there's not such a big rebbe because I don't have it. But in the Shulchan Aruch, we do have this distinction between if he was kavasud or shir shacher. I should say the Mishnah Berurah denies this deal. Mishnah Berurah thinks that when the Shulchan Aruch says if he was kavasud, it means he ate a shir shacher and kavim melosud, so that everything should be uniform. But kavar will be that it's taka cholok. That it's chaluk in the tour. It's very striking in the tour that it's chaluk, and in the tour it's especially compelling because you see in the tour that pasuk b'kisnim chayv is chayim and chala, and yet it's mezainis. Whereas when it comes to this pancake, the tour, if you read the tour kipshutai, it's potter min achala and it's mezainis. But if you kavei suda on it, then it becomes a lechem. So we're taking something that's not a lechem because it lacks in chashivas. We're giving it a chashivas. Pasim of a kisnin is a lechem. It's chayim and chala, but it's a very, very chashuv lechem that you wouldn't normally waste on a meal. So if there, it's totally an eating a lot of it. So I think that's a dvar mishar. Okay, fine. We'll stop here. Tomorrow, mitzvah Shem, I'm going to zoom because tomorrow afternoon I'm going to Silver Spring. I'll sleep over with my son and go to the rally the next day. So for me to come up here and then drive down back to Brooklyn then to Silver Spring, it's too much.
Where's everybody staying in Silver Spring?
In a hotel. And what I wanted to go to Mitzvah Shem, we'll go to the Tosis about the Tchilas HaSufkin. Yeah.
Is it stop analogous class whole bread?